were born, the very forests of Lordaeron whispered the name.
Extra Life Radio. From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
This episode of Extra Life Radio is brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com, where the codes Life1, Life2, and Life3 are designed to save you money. Check them out at GoDaddy.com. This episode is also brought to you by YouBuyNow.com. Use Extra Life at checkout and save 10%. This episode of Extra Life Radio is brought to you by the generous contribution of Kurt Taylor. Kurt, this one's for you. Everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR number 193. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is August. What is August? It is August, right? August 24th, 2008, and we are back with yet another fine ELR program. If you're unfamiliar with the show, you might want to check out the archives. They're all there to be had at the site, which is myextralife.com. Let's not screw around. Let's just get right to it. You know the drill. Joining us from Columbia and the fine comic, commissioncomic.com, is Obsidian. Obsidian, good evening, sir.
What's so good about it?
Oh, see, there he goes. Grumpy out of the gate. So what's going on, man? How's your life?
Well, it's better than yours.
All right, fine. Also joining us is the venerable Brian Dunaway from MissionDeep.com and Comics Coast to Coast, the ever-growing popular syndication comic thing show. Brian, hello.
Hi, how's it going? I don't even know what venerable means.
You don't?
I can barely say it. Venerable.
You have a venerable disease?
Venerable. I don't even think that's a word. Let me look that up.
Venerable. Of course it is. Look it up.
What? Define it. It
means you're like
you don't know
always
what it
means,
there. Do you?
No, you're always there, solid, upstanding, available. I don't
that's
know.
Not venerable.
Yeah, it's like you can count on him. He's there. He's consistent.
Listen to this round robin definition. Venerable. First definition is deserving to be venerated.
Well, that's what I meant.
I gotta look that up.
That sounds like a health hazard.
Aren't there other definitions?
Yeah, made sacred, especially by religious or historical association. Calling forth respect through age, character. Hey, age.
Age. Character.
Attainments.
Yeah.
A venerable jazz musician. All right.
Yeah. See, dude? Come on.
I'll take it. All right.
It's a compliment.
Don't be calling me no more names, though.
All right. We have a special guest this week, and he also goes by the name of Brian, but from here forward, we're going to refer to him as either his full name, which is Brian Ibbett, or Ibot, which I enjoy as well. Joining us from Coverville at coverville.com, truly the finest, and maybe only, actually, I don't know this, but maybe the only podcast dedicated to covers of your favorite bands and songs. Brian, a.k.a. Ibot, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. So hold on a sec. I'm Twittering.
Oh, good. You should be.
Yes.
Everyone's Twittering now. It's the rage. It's all the hot deal. In fact, I even noticed that O seems to Twitter his new comics now, which is a major increase in Twitter traffic from O's direction.
Yeah.
So, good job on that.
Yeah, it is. It is. Cool. It is.
Yes, the only... Oh, go ahead.
No.
Cool. No.
I'm cool.
Don't worry about me.
I'm cool.
I'm good.
I'm gonna Twitter about this.
I just did as well. Let's just blow everybody's mind.
Brian Ibbett just interrupted me.
I did. Darn right. Oh yeah, I can see it. He just Twittered it. Oh my God. Did you see what he just called me?
It's amazing. So Brian is Brian Ibbett is known for not only awesomeness that is Coverville and all of his other things. He's also very secretly a fan of both The Instance and Extra Life Radio, which is always an honor to even know that that's true. And we've had, this is like your third time on the show, is that right?
It is, yeah.
So you hit a serious milestone. You want to tell people what happened? What happened to Coverville here recently that it's pretty significant, and I'm honestly scratching my head to find other shows who have reached as many episodes as you have. So tell us what happened.
Well, yeah, I hit, I say I hit the 500th episode, but honestly, I'm in the process of editing together the 500th episode. This is basically it was a concert out in Las Vegas last weekend, a week ago Friday, that I turned into the 500th episode, or actually probably should say I turned the 500th episode of Coverville into a concert out in Las Vegas with Jonathan Colton, Richard Cheese, Chance in the Choir, Natalie Gelman, and the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
Yeah. Did you mention who did you miss there? Somebody you missed.
Well, I thought I mentioned everybody.
You said Jonathan Colton?
I did. Oh, I started with Jonathan Colton.
Okay. I was like, are you kidding? He's like the headliner guy. And I'm like, did he forget his name?
Oh, no, no. He was the basically the first person I wanted to get for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's such a cool dude.
He really is. I mean, he is the most approachable, friendly guy. You know, you basically walk right up and start talking to him, and it's like he's known you for years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So congratulations on all that.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate it. It was, 10 months of my life trying to put that concert together. Now I'm kind of, floating without a cause right now.
Now, what a lot of people may not know is that on top of all of this, and obviously you're very musically inclined, and people might say, oh, he's so into the music and the covers and everything. It isn't really.
Yeah, not so much.
Not really a nerd, but you're a nerd, dude.
I'm a major nerd. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, big time geek nerd. You being here seems appropriate somehow because of that.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Oh yeah, I like the World of Warcraft. I like the video games. Like the comic books.
You like the Vidya games, do you?
I like the Vidya games.
What kind of comic? Before we move on to video games, in fact, can you just spout out some of your favorite comics? I've always wanted to ask you this because I knew you were a fan, but we've never gotten you to say on the show. What are some of your favorite comic books?
Well, of course, some of my favorite comic books would be Mission Deep and Extra Life Radio and O's comic, whose name escapes me.
And they've course, they're all in book form well.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I get trapped by those things, and I completely lose my mind.
Well, it is the longest. It is one of the longest URLs in the history of the internet. So I can't really blame you. It's hard to remember. the traditional.
At least the name of my URL goes with the name of my comic. Not my Extra Life.
Oh, I see.
That is called Extra Life.
Have I ever told that story how that Arab guy won't sell me extralife.com? I don't
see how it could be interesting.
He wants $67,000 for that domain. Can you believe that? I mean,
and you showed
on.
Him. I'm not paying it. I'll add a my to the front of it.
I'm going
this
to court.
This is my Extra Life.
Yeah. I'm going to court, dude. Because, I was trying to ride that whole MySpace. Actually, it was way before MySpace, but I bought that domain back in 1996. 1999.
Old man Scott.
I bought it in 99, and the truth is I probably should just put the my on the comic. But who cares? I'm fighting against the machine. Screw that Arab guy. Gosh dang it.
Exactly.
How do you spell ought? 19-ought. What is ought?
O-T-T?
I thought it was O-U-G-H-T.
Oh, you're probably right.
Well, I don't know.
Who's down with OTT?
Yeah, you know me.
Oh, AUGHT. There we go.
Oh.
No, comic books that I read. just
oh, yeah.
a
back
slight
to that. Thank you.
Attention.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah.
I'm a Marvel guy. I know that there's Marvel guys and DC guys out there. I'm mostly a Marvel guy. Right now, following, of course, the whole Skrull invasion thing.
Yeah. Hard to avoid that, by the way. That's just omnipresent
right.
in that universe.
Big into not as much into the X-Men as I used to be. I mean, all right, I'm an old comic book guy, so I remember picking up the Dave Cockrum and John Byrne and Chris Claremont X-Men off the shelves when I would go to the comic store.
Yeah.
Really liked the Infinity Crisis stuff on DC, or not Infinity Crisis, but Identity Crisis.
That was good.
Of course.
So you do read some DC.
I do read some DC. Invincible, I love.
Oh, I love Invincible.
Heroes, or not Heroes. What's the one on with the two policemen that follow?
Oh,
Superhero Crimes.
Yeah, that one's called. That one has a name.
It's the other Brian Michael Bendis. Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming.
Yeah. And that's a real good comic none of us can think of.
Oh my God! How come I can't pull that out? See, this is what happens to me. I swear to God.
I know this is how it goes. It's how it goes on the show for everyone. Don't worry, we have that effect on people. I used to know a lot of other things. I don't know them anymore. Well, that's great. Now, I wanted to say this right up front about DC comic or DC versus Marvel people. I don't think there always seems to be this sense or this general consensus that people have to be one or the other, that you've got to pick a side. Mm-hmm. And I really like both. I think there's so much to like about both. And I even love it more when they'll do a crossover, like a cross company crossover, which is rare.
Absolutely. So you're basically a flip flop.
No, I'm a fence sitter. Are you kidding?
Powers, sitter, by the way, better. is the one I was trying
to
remember.
Oh, Powers. That's it. Powers. That's it.
Yes.
Very nice.
I like the crossover stuff.
You don't like the crossover stuff? Why would that be, Brian?
Because they have to get, because they're both big companies and they don't want their hero to lose. So, I mean, when they fight, kind of like going, they kind of like cheat a little bit. They go, nobody's really a loser. We kind of tied.
I hadn't thought of that before. That's
the amalgam stuff was pretty cool.
Oh, that was horrible.
You didn't like the amalgam stuff?
No, that was exactly what Brian is talking about. I remember that they decided who would win those fights by voting, but I never really bought into that. I had two theories, that either they flipped the coin or they arm wrestled or something like that.
Yeah.
Or,
which actually would have made a better comic.
Oh, man.
Or they simply, they bought it. You know, they were like, okay, I'll give you this much money. They probably made a lot of big business there. But it was horrible. And the results, I mean, I remember the Wolverine mixed up with Batman.
Uh-huh.
That was hideous.
See, I kind of liked it.
I actually kind of did like the mix-up of the Wolverine-Batman. That was actually one of the few that I actually cared for. And I like to say actually a lot.
Yeah, you do. Well, actually, you
notice
do.
That? Actually? Let me look that up. What does actually mean?
You might want to know before you use it again.
I was kidding.
For the 12 more times you use it, that'd be good.
Actually, you are quite venerable.
I just used it
in a sentence.
I'm going to stop using actually and start using the definition, which is in act or in fact.
Oh.
So in fact or in act, fact, I like the...
All right. Server. Well, good. So I'm just pleased to say that there is much to be offered right now in comics, and I'm only sad about one aspect, which is they're getting so expensive. I just don't like how their prices are going up all the time.
And really, are they that expensive, Scott? I mean,
it's $4.50 for a single issue monthly comic.
Are you sure you're not just cheap?
That's what I'm thinking.
I may be a little cheap.
And really, when you think about it, it really is that the single issues are kind of expensive when you look at the price of the graphic novels.
Yeah.
Because you get so much in a graphic novel.
Yeah. I remember when I could get a graphic novel for like $3.50. And now I've got to pay $10, $12.
Please don't be remembering for the audience. I remember back when it was only a quarter, 15 cents to buy a comic.
Gas was 75 cents back in 1994. Anyway.
Well, no, that's actually how I got Why the Last Man, which is another excellent series. It actually just ended. But rather than getting the individual issues, I just waited until each set came out in the trade paperbacks and picked those up.
Oh, dude.
I do that sometimes with poop. Instead of
I save up and then I just blow the toilet up.
No, it really works. I mean, instead of taking like four or five small soft dumps a day, I just save it up for one huge mega hard dump in the evening.
What was that in the paper recently said you're supposed to take?
No, it wasn't the paper. It was freaking what's her name from Baywatch.
Pamela Anderson?
Yeah, Pamela Anderson came out and said like the healthy thing to do is to take four or five cat-sized poops a day.
I'm confused. Does she mean poop the size of cats or the size that poop that cats have?
I don't know, dude.
I've been able to get out some ferrets, but I don't know about a cat.
Yeah, a cat is pretty big.
Wait a minute. Why? What's the matter with you people up there in the United States? Are you actually listening to health advice from Pamela Anderson?
Well, I don't think KFC, and you know, I don't know how I'm supposed to poop that big if I'm not eating KFC.
Look, but I don't think KFD is because of the correct way of saying it. I do not think that that Pamela Anderson knows anything about anything, and why anybody somewhere wrote down that she said this. Just that's the part that boggles my mind. It's like, oh my gosh, get that down. That sounds brilliant.
What did she say? Look out! What did she say again?
Now, wait, does she mean cat sized or cat sized? I don't understand. Well, just write it up and put it on the front page. It'll be news. I mean, it's that kind of thing. Stupid.
Hey, I'd rather hear how to not contract hepatitis, but I guess she's not going to be offering that information up.
Yeah, and how to get a boob job and then have it reduced later. Do they just go in and pinprick it and let it leak out a little bit, or what do you do?
What about that? They got like a little, you know, like a little, like the pools or, you know, have the drain things
there.
What
do you mean? That it's like the easiest thing ever. They use the shrink ray.
No, oh, I see. You have a maniacal.
And they
method.
Got that big. Yeah.
But I wondered if, like, if they do one at a time, and they got to put a little level on her head, make sure everything's even.
That's funny.
No, they probably do it sideways so that the ray grabs both nipples, and you can trick it from there.
I watch Weird Science. I know how it works.
Yeah, you've seen the movie. Now live the life. Yeah. All right. So one last thing before we move on, I am rereading The Watchmen, and I'm enjoying it as much as I did the first four times I read it. I love it.
Do you find yourself having trouble reading the text parts?
What do you mean trouble?
Like
you don't understand it.
You know, like you want to get right to the story and not.
I want to get right back to the action. That's
mean that when you say text? I thought you meant like the word bubbles. You mean like the big long?
Brian just he just looks at the pretty pictures.
Yeah, I just want pictures. No, I you know what, this
Ooh,
is
look, I can see her boob.
This is maybe the first time I'm skipping over those a little bit because I already know what they are and I'm not so worried about it. But I read every ounce of this the first few times through, and it's genius, and I can't wait to see this movie.
It's the same for me. And you know what other comic is exactly the same? The first time I read all through the text, you know, almost religiously, but the second time I read V for Vendetta, I also sort of, you know, skipped through the text part.
You know, this is just it's an Alan Moore problem.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to have all this exposition and outside of the comic form, and it's always a little bit rough if you've already read it. But if you need, you know, if you're getting it the first time, it's great stuff.
Yeah, he likes to read himself talk.
Yeah. In his cave, in his cave with his freaking giant beard and hair and his freaking when he's eating a squirrel he found, and you know, that guy's weird. He's weird.
Now, have you guys seen the videos on iTunes for Watchmen and Invincible?
No, Invincible? What?
Not Invincible.
Invincible and Watchmen. But they have kind of animated comics. Basically, it's the panels of the comic, but they do some, you know, kind of flash animation and it's a really cool way to kind of watch and reread those comics again.
Is somebody doing an Invincible movie?
No,
it's. It's oh, like you said. It's basically
that's the
animated.
Way it begins.
No. What I mean is,
the rumors begin.
That's true. But I thought maybe that you were saying, well, these are like promotions for these movies coming out, and I thought, I didn't know they were doing Invincible.
Now that would be cool. No, I haven't heard anything about an Invincible movie.
It'd make a great movie. It'd be perfect.
Absolutely.
I don't know what story arc. Well, I know what story arc they'd do. We don't want to give anything away, but the whole father thing has got to be in there, but I'd be really curious to see how that would work out. That is a great comic. If you people are not reading Invincible, shout out to Steven Schleicher at Major Spoilers for making the original recommendation anyway. I'd never even heard of it when he told me about it, and I love that comic. Love it.
I need to read it.
The art is awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, well, enough of that. Let's move on. Holy crap, we talked about comics a lot more than I planned. I don't even have a bumper for that. Oh well. So let's move on to this.
Video games.
Thank you, Scott Fletcher. It's good to hear him. another guest we enjoy having on here and there. All right. So this is crazy. Be prepared for the crazy talk. All right, because this is nuts to me. You can now apparently register to vote on your Xbox 360.
What?
Yes, Brian. You know you've been sitting there thinking, I really want to vote for Ron Paul. How can I do it through my video game obsession?
I ain't got time to stop playing my video game to go vote.
So was now,
what I want to know
what
is,
can I do about that?
How is this going to affect? Are we going to have a whole bunch of write-in votes for Mr. Bubbles?
Dude, no doubt.
And yeah, nobody will figure out how to hack that, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure
they'll figure out a way to do Big Daddy for president. Rosie for president.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a little blown away by this. So here's the deal. Microsoft inexplicably joined up with the Rock the Vote thing that MTV always used to do, and I guess that still happens. I don't watch MTV anymore, but...
Yeah, I don't either, but...
They should just call that that channel Shit TV. Oh, pardon me. Oh,
I can't believe you said that.
Ooh, you said another word for poo.
I'm going to have to bleep it. All right. They talk about, let's see. So here's what they do. They let them register for vote, talk about the candidates, and participate in preliminary presidential votes. Okay, can we stop right there and talk about the talk about candidates part of this?
You know what the important question is here, Scott?
What?
What video game character would you vote for president?
Oh, dude, don't ask me that. That's hard.
don't make me think. I'm not good at it.
Sam Fisher. Sam Fisher. Fisher for president. I like that. Which is really
that's ensuring an age of peace.
Now, age of sneaking around, you know, hiding in the shadows and stuff. Say what, Brian?
Is Sony getting into this all at all?
I don't think so. Not according to this, and I don't know that they couldn't. It seems like they can't really get an exclusive on this. But what's interesting is this: I've been on the 360, and Brian Ibbett is an owner of a 360, so you know how this is. Mm-hmm. Just play Halo for 10 minutes and tell me that those are the people you want to have serious discussions about candidates with.
Yeah, right. Not exactly. To mention, are they going to start advertising in game? Ads and stuff.
I don't know.
But wait a minute here, Scott. I mean, of course, I'm not from the U.S. I don't know. What are you saying that these people shouldn't vote?
No, I'm saying do whatever you got to do. I just don't have any interest in sitting around like some kind of forum with them going, okay, you just pwned my ass on freaking whatever. Now let us speak about the real issues that are before us. How about universal health care? Blah 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 blah.
Obama is the elite.
Obama is elite.
But I think I'm not getting it. I mean, they're going to have discussions. I thought it was just like the voting. And that's it.
Well, no, they register to vote there. They can't actually vote there because that would be weird, dude. All you need to do is have a hacked Xbox and suddenly, you know, suddenly the Green Party won. So
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you couldn't allow that. That would be crazy. There's already enough issues with real voting machines, you know, that people don't trust those. Nobody's going to trust the 360 Live people. But the idea is that they could register there and they could do polling there that gave people an idea that, well, if the...
Gay people, what'd you say?
If the... What?
Gay people?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
I didn't say gay people. When did I say gay people?
Oh, gay people.
What?
Gave people. My.
Gave.
What is that? What is that? Like a new sexual preference?
No. Yeah, I'm Gave.
I'm Gave.
It's a new way of, I don't know what that would be. It's like metrosexual. It's a new version of that. I'm Gave. I'm feeling very Gave. It's like they will be able to do preliminary results, and so people could say, yeah, I'd vote for Bush. Well, he can't. Okay. I vote for
what's my other choices?
Who's that old man? I'll vote for that old man. So they vote for these guys.
These people are going to vote anyway. Might as well know what they're going to vote for.
No, they're not.
Not necessarily, dude. Okay. Not these people. I mean, look, I realize they may have a stereotype of most, not all, but most 360 owners. And the truth is most aren't over 18. A lot. Not most, but maybe a lot or not. So that kid who just one-shotted me on, you know, in Call of Duty 4, he can't vote anyway.
So you're saying that because you suck at Call of Duty, this guy should not vote.
You said duty. So anyway, this is what
they're going to regulate.
Well, look
this.
What Gizmodo said. This is very funny. It's unclear whether you'll do all this from your 360. Our guess is no. But you should ask yourself this question. Do you actually want the people you play on Xbox Live with to be one step closer for voting so we can get our 4 years of President Dick Hertz and his vice president, Sweaty Balls? That's horrible. But I think I agree with this, and I don't understand it. Xbox is a natural partner to help us reach out to our youth voters, says Heather Smith, executive director of Rock the Vote. I think this is a bad idea waiting to explode.
I think you should just keep these things separate. I mean, why do you have to join it all? Just let a guy play. Let a guy listen to his music. Yeah. Let's all agree that MTV has not been good since the 90s. And 80s. Go vote if you want to.
Yeah.
Go out in the real world. I mean, if you can't go out in the real world to freaking register, then forget it. You don't get a vote. You know, balls don't count in your house.
Step away from BioShock.
Yeah. You don't know what the crap's going on anyway. The world could blow up around you and you wouldn't even realize it. So what the crap?
Okay, let me ask you guys then.
Nevertheless, I would vote for the mayor and those Final Fight games from the arcade. Remember those Final Fight games from the arcade that the mayor of the city was like this huge wrestler dude?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd fight him at the end of every level.
No. He was the character. You would fight – I mean, you'd fight
with him.
Yeah.
He was the mayor?
Nevertheless.
Yeah, he was the mayor. He was the mayor of the city. In Final Fight.
I always thought those games were crazy. Now I know they were. Freaking Capcom.
I would totally vote for him.
That's an anime problem.
What does nevertheless mean? What?
Yeah. So Brian Ibbett, would you do this just for the heck of it? I mean, are you going to even touch this with a 10-foot pole?
Well, I'm already registered.
If I wasn't,
I'm voting right now. Click, 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 click. would I do it? No. I mean, I mean, if it was an easier way to register, yeah. But I don't see them. They don't really have a great way of keeping people who aren't legally able to vote, either because of age or because of nationality.
Yeah.
They don't have a good way of keeping people out of there. So
please put your driver's license on the TV.
Yeah, get your eyesight camera or whatever it is. What do they call that thing? The X-Play or the Xbox freaking poo camera. Pull that out. By the way, mine, I have one of those. Somebody gave it to me, and that thing gets hot and shorts out. It gets it's like a fire hazard.
You're supposed to put it between your legs.
No. I'll just have it sticking up someplace, and all of a sudden it gets super hot. Like, you can't even touch it. It gets so hot. And then it shorts out and quit working. And then you have to let it cool down and then do it again. And it's terrible. That camera, sorry, Microsoft. I love your 360. Actually, I don't. It's a piece of crap. I just love the games you can play on it. But your hardware blows. We should demand more of our hardware from Microsoft this next round because this stuff.
I mean, I thought it was a bold enough step that Sony decided to let PlayStation 3 owners control the little electrodes in Michael Phelps' Speedos to make him win the
gold
medals.
That kind of stuff is nuts. Okay,
I got a short Wii story.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. How short?
A couple of inches. And okay. No, I'm at literally it's the black market. It's where you buy like contraband stuff and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I was looking for some of my pirated Wii games. And please, people, let's not get into discussions regarding...
Save that for the after-show chat. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm going through this store and I see a Nintendo Wii that cost 160,000 pesos, which is like 60 bucks or something like that.
Man.
So I'm checking it out. And it's called something like the Mi or something, you know, M-I-I or something. I'm looking at it, and it's exactly the Nintendo Wii. I mean, it's got the same shape. It's got the same controller. But I start looking at it, and it had a zapper. It had the gun, the zapper.
The old NES zapper?
Yeah. So I'm checking it out. I'm like, whoa, this has a zapper?
Yeah.
Since when?
No.
And I'm like, okay, show me that Wii you got right there. And it's basically a Nintendo, an old Nintendo. It doesn't even receive cartridges. It just has all the games in it. And you turn it on. And the idea is that it looks like a Wii. So the little kids that don't know any better and asking for Wiis.
That's funny.
And they get an old NES full of a ROM with all the old games. That's awesome.
I mean, yeah.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that peripheral I bought with the robot that can lift the gyroscopes up and down is not a Wii?
No, dude.
Yeah.
Oh. That's not it.
No, it isn't.
That robot is so freaking stupid. I wish I had one.
By the way.
They're talking about Rob, R-O-B, right? Yeah.
Rob, that's what it is.
Yeah, Rob. Rob the robot.
Oh, but by the way, the mayor's name, the one you're going to vote for president, yeah. His name was Hagger.
Hagger. Oh, that's right. Hagger. And he was the mayor? Yeah. I had no idea he was the mayor.
Yeah, somebody in the chat room just told
okay,
me.
Quickly before we move on, I'm going to do a quick impression. All right. This is my impression of a Xbox 360 with it turned on, okay? This is the Xbox 360 turned on. Ready, everyone? Here it is. In 3, 2.
All right,
there you go. Oh, that hurt.
I don't get it.
Yeah, dude, you would if you had one. Let's watch a DVD on your 360. Well, how loud is your stereo system? That's the question you ask.
Oh my God, no kidding.
It's bad. Those things loud as hell.
I love that.
All right. Lastly, in games, just real brief mention here. I'm sure this will be talked a lot more on the next episode of The Instance. And by the way, Randy, we hope you're feeling better. He's been kind of sick and down. I think he caught Vegas fever as well, to be honest. Does Blizzard, I saw Blizzard put out this new cinematic for Wrath of the Lich King, and it's beautiful, of course. Their work is, unsurpassed by anyone else. It's just beautiful stuff. It got me really pumped. I love the irony of the narration. And this was actual audio taken straight from, I believe, I could be wrong on this. Maybe someone will have to correct me, but I think that audio was ripped right from the old Warcraft 3, possibly Frozen Throne audio. Because the guy who did the voice is dead. He died some many years ago, or a year or something.
Oh,
ago.
Really?
A year and a half ago, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the guy that does all the intros to the game when you get in. And
yeah.
He's the bad guy.
I didn't know he died.
Hunchback from Notre
Dame. You like on the Wizard obituary list?
Yeah, he's dead. He's gone. Okay. And he was awesome. His voice is really iconic and cool. And
yeah, it was.
So
yeah, well, people die.
To hear that, I'm pretty sure it was taken from Warcraft 3. So the nice thing is that that's overlaid on top of this thing, and it's just an ironic thing. It's basically a letter to his son, Arthas, who sees great things in his son about leading his people. And Arthas, of course, took the complete and total utter opposite direction of everything. And it's got this great irony to it. But I realized as I was watching it, you either need to be an old-time lore fan to get the irony or to get the juxtaposition of the narration over the video, or you need to be a totally hardcore player that's been just itching to play up to 80 for so long that you can't wait for this game to come out. This video did nothing for, I believe anyway, it does nothing for people who don't know anything about the game yet, new players.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, any thoughts on this? Or am I just reading too much into it, or care more about it than is necessary, or what's my problem?
You know, I think it's got enough. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
No, go ahead, Brian. I was to stall.
So, okay. Oh, then go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say, Brian. Come on, Brian. Come on, spit it up, Brian.
You're just going to stall. That's awesome. I love that. That's my favorite thing I've heard all night. Anyway,
but yeah, go ahead, David. Give me a minute to think something.
No problems. You know, I think I basically saw it the day it came out, same as everybody. And obviously I've been playing Warcraft since Warcraft 2 and 3 and then getting into World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
So I obviously am not coming into this without any lore background, but I think that this actually can stand on its own, even if you don't know, who the characters are, who Arthas is, and seeing the throne and that sort of thing. I think it kind of stands on its own more as a mysterious trailer. If you don't know who the characters are, then you're looking at it like, wow, all right, who's this guy? And ooh, who are all those guys dressed in black running around?
And who's that freaking, what's that dragon and what's all this about? And, yeah.
Right, exactly. I think it actually builds the curiosity of, the people who don't know the lore and who don't know what's going on there.
Some have argued that it would be better if this third one was consistent with the first two, which was show these player characters again, because they show some characters in the first game, and according to some DVD commentary, many of those same characters appeared in the second cinematic, not all but some, and now have better armor and are much further down the road and all those sorts of things, and it puts more of this feeling of like this can be you out there kicking trash, and this new one is more like back to pure story. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with this, this new place, this frozen place, and this new dude you got to deal with. And, I'm with you that it does build sort of a little bit of mystery if you don't know what's going on. But I wonder if Blizzard isn't. Maybe they don't care anymore about talking to new players as much. I don't know. Something we're thinking about. Yeah, Brian, are you eyeing the stall again?
I thought it was. I just thought it was. I don't have much more to say about it except for I just thought it was a beautiful cinematic, and I thought the dragon looked wicked.
Yeah, you'll get an argument from me there. And if you haven't watched it, you need to, dude. Come on.
Artistically, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But still, Scott, I mean, maybe I haven't watched it, but I do have to say this for it. What you said about, you know, the earlier cinematics just showing the characters, and this one is showing story. And I think you're kind of taking it the wrong way. I think it's not that the guys at Blizzard don't care about new players. It's just that they want to, they want people to care about the story. I know that the World of Warcraft universe has, it's very heavy in story. It has a great story. I played Warcraft 3 and Frozen Throne. And it was an awesome story. I mean, it was really, really good. And maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want the people that are playing to be more aware of this story. And personally, if the video is as you describe it, I mean, if they're showing like this really badass mean guy, but what they're talking about is, you know, you said it was like a letter saying about how good he was.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds pretty obvious that I mean, people should get it.
No, I think they will. I think they will. I think they'll get it more if they played Warcraft 3, and at the end when they spoiler alert people, but sorry, I'm spoiling a game that's like 8 years old, so relax.
When he
literally kills his father. He runs his father through with his sword and down he goes.
That's not even at the end of the game. That's like,
well, it's not quite the end of the game, but it's, I mean, it's
you're not
far,
even halfway through.
It's pretty far into it. But the point is that, you know, that makes it even all the more. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think this cinematic is brilliant. It's one of my favorite things Blizzard does. It's half the reason I love playing. I love the feel and the look and the style and I just love it. So I've got no problem with it on any level. I just thought it was interesting to take that road to say, all right, more story focused.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that they're trying to bring people into the story. I mean, stop going in and just playing around that killing.
And nice. He switched off his mic by accident. It's my favorite. Yeah. It's because he's getting all like excited over there. You can tell.
Oh. I'll say while
unplugged me mic. I did.
Yar.
I agree with you. I agree with everyone.
I think focusing on new players. I mean, really, it's probably not their interest because new players. How many people are left out there that haven't played it? That are gonna play it. I'm still waiting.
Yeah. No, you're playing now, dude. What are you talking about?
I know.
You better be.
That's what I'm saying. Who isn't playing that's going to play soon?
Oh.
How many people are playing now? I saw a number a few days ago, but I can't remember what number it was.
Everybody but Obsidian.
It's 11 or 12 million or something. It's 11 or 12 million. It's basically a money machine. But and nobody's
even close. How many?
11 or 12, something like that. 11 million is the last number I saw that was official.
I mean, there are countries with less people.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
No, it's enormous. Nobody's even close. The competition, you know, they're all just going, eh. And Warhammer looks interesting, but, you know, who knows? So bottom line is, what's the bottom line? Bottom line is that cinematic is awesome and you guys should watch it, regardless of whether or not Blizzard, you know, cares about. It's also going to be increasingly hard to say to people, hey, now there's 80 levels. Go ahead and start a new guy, Mr. Newbie. Yep.
Good luck. Yeah, my only complaint about the cinematic is I went back and looked at the old Burning Crusade cinematic, and there was so much in there as far as seeing the new areas. Obviously, there's no new races in Lich King, but it would have been nice to see more, you know, get a preview of some of these new areas.
Yeah, and the Death Knight, some of that would have been cool. I picture in my head a group of like a troll, the orc, and maybe the undead guy from the first. Maybe the Tauren from the first two cinematics and them coming up into this new place and showing some of that.
Right, exactly.
I just want them to... I guess you know what I'm arguing for here is Blizzard to make more of these. I think they're unsurpassed, they're amazing, and they should just sit around making more of this stuff. And I know they've got a whole team that do it, so why not put them on it? I know they got to work on StarCraft cinematics and Diablo 3 stuff. I know they got their hands full, but this stuff is amazing. It's beautiful, and I would pay good money for episodic content from these guys. I
really would. Let's get cheap.
Let's get Lich King in 2009 and get a couple more cinematics.
Yes, please. Could they do that? That'd be great. The truth, but really, I mean, if it, I know it's expensive, so sell them to me. Sell me a DVD for $18 that has, I don't know, a 6-part story on it, and I'll and make a little extra money on the side. Not that they need to.
I mean, why don't we just do what we all want them to do,
which is
make the movie.
Oh yeah, that's true. We do want that. We've stated that many times over and over, and they're still not doing that. So oh well.
Yeah, so
all right, well, let's
get it over with.
Indeed. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some movie stuff. Nothing too heavy this week. And a little tech question that had me scratching my head. We'll do all that and more when our program continues.
Hi, this is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactic, and I play the role of Tom Zarek, and you are listening to Extra Life Radio.
We're back. Welcome back to the show.
I know. Actually, I keep breaking up.
What, Brian?
Hi, how's it going? I was just apologizing to Ibbot for interrupting him a couple of times because it's just like...
Because you're a jerk?
A couple of times. No, because y'all keep cutting out every once in a while. It's my internet connection, I'm sure.
Because you're ing for...
No, it's laggy for me, too.
Yeah. So Brian, are you saying that I should stop typing up this letter to my lawyers right now?
I know it. I thought you was through talking a couple of times. I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk now. And then I'm like, hey, Brian, Ibbot's still talking.
You could just do the rude approach. Go like, are you done?
Yeah, are you done yet?
Are you done?
Is or talk?
Do more ing for delay or whatever it is you call it. Just go until people stop talking.
I've been doing this for like years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing this for, dude, almost 200 episodes, which of course is the show we end on.
Do it.
And Skype has always been there, and it's always been a pain. So I don't know what to do about it, but they've always been there. It's never been not a part of the show. Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. By the way, everyone who wonders if we're really ending on 200, we're not. But are we?
We aren't.
Wow.
Are we?
You know, you had me fooled there.
Are we though?
I'd already set my vacation up.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It was like a million tiny voices screaming in pain, and then it just stopped.
Like Alderaan, really. When it comes right down to it. Okay, well, let's move on. Quick discussion about these things.
Movies.
Heaven, I'm in heaven.
I don't know why I like that so much. I really do, though.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. All right. So let's talk about movies. So I just finished a book, and you're thinking, I thought we were talking about movies. We are. But I finished a book called The Road by Cormac McCarthy is his name. I never get his name right. I hope I got that right. This book came out in 2006. It is the basically a survival story about a father and a son. In the book, they're never known as anything more than the man and the boy. You never know their names. Who are trying to survive in a post-apocalyptic, presumably American wasteland, although the whole world is reportedly covered in ash, and not many people survived. And those that did have resorted to things like cannibalism and all sorts of treachery. And while
I hate it when that happens.
And yet others, including our brave duo, are the good guys. They're the guys, and in fact, they refer to themselves as that in the book, and it's a very, it isn't a bunch of action set pieces or anything like this. It is really just a very poetic telling of a story about this man and the sons trying to survive, trying to find food and shelter and escape from the weather and dealing with people as they run into them and other issues that come up. But it is unbelievably satisfying story. I really, really liked it. And I'm going to recommend it extremely high. I, if you can, listen to it or read it before the movie's coming out that I'm about to talk about. Anyway, really good stuff. So, oh, and by the way, the audiobook version is really well done. They have some dude that actually acts really well, and I usually have big complaints about most audiobook readings. This guy is awesome. I don't know his name, but he's really good. Okay. That being said, Viggo Mortensen is cast in the role of the man.
Nice.
Let's see.
That's good casting for Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah,
as he is a man.
He is not only a man, but he's really good at sort of the emaciated, stoic.
I can't look up all these words at the same time.
Dude, trust me, it's a word. It really is a word. He has that look of haggard, hard, you know, tough going, but strong willed. You know, I think he's perfect for the casting. I'm looking at some of the photos right now. This is just what I see I see what I'm seeing here in my head. This is how I see it.
Viggo Mortensen porn.
That is true. Now the son is played by Cody Smit McPhee. I've never heard of him, but I'm sure he's good. Charlize Theron plays his wife, although only in flashback. In the book, she's never actually there. It's just during dreams and things.
Is much like my dreams.
Yeah, of course. That's what you're like in my dreams, actually. You're in mine. I don't know if I've ever told you that. But I wake up. I think I'm waking up, and there's a guy with a relatively shaved head, two earrings, and a kind of a goatee next to me. And you last night you said, I woke up and you whispered in my ear, you got what I need. And then it ended. And then I woke up.
I think you're dreaming about Mr. Clean, actually.
Oh, crap. All right. Anyway, so
don't we all dream about Mr. Clean?
Once in a while, yeah. So Guy Pearce, Robert Duvall, a lot of really good actors in this. The director is John Hillcoate, whose previous work includes a lot of stuff I've never heard of, like The Proposition, although I heard it was cool. What else? I can't find any others. Oh, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. I don't know what that is.
That's a band.
Digital hardcore videos.
Is it? Because they also did some In Excess thing. So maybe he does a lot of documentary video stuff. Oh, he's a video director. That's why.
So okay.
I love it. I love it when video directors do movies. They always.
Their work is great, in fact. You know what? I agree with that. Owen, I agree. Write it down. This is true.
Like Supernatural. Awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't that Big G? Isn't that who did that? Or is that?
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, I believe it is.
I know that's where Michael Bay got his start. I know that's where, other people did.
Other famous directors who were originally...
Not famous?
Yeah, they you know what it is? It's because they have such a great style. Oh, I know who it is. Zack Snyder, the director of 300 and the upcoming Watchmen, got his start in music videos. Yeah.
Yes, that is true.
And wouldn't it... And
Scott
it kind of
gets
makes,
a cookie.
And when you watch his stuff, you go... Wow, this is so stylistic and stuff. Well, I think those guys get raised on style, and it shows in their movies. But anyway, this looks really, really awesome, and I'm so excited about it. If you guys want to read more, you can find it on imdb.com. And when you see these pictures of Viggo Mortensen, you're just going to be... he is the character, dude. I see his face, and I go, yep, that's the guy I was reading last week. Totally good. Anyway, all right, enough of that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
I know. Any opinions? Any thoughts? I mean, no one's read this except me, so you're probably all like, "Hey, whatever."
I haven't read the book. I haven't even seen the trailer yet. So, do they even have a trailer?
No trailer yet. No. Although I'm sure something's forthcoming because it comes out this fall. So we're going to see it next.
Yeah. If you go to IMDb, you can see production shots, but that's about it.
Yeah. Look at that third picture over, dude. How awesome is that? Don't you think he looks the role of like haggard post-apocalyptic?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dude, you're really freaking me out with this obsession over Viggo.
Dude, I like Viggo Mortensen. Really. He's awesome.
Yes, we can tell.
He's Aragorn.
I have to talk like this. I can't help it.
All right, anyway.
No, it sounds like a great book. I'm putting it on my... I've got some credits in Audible, so I'm going to...
Oh, yeah, it's for that sure. That's where I got it. Yeah. I got it there.
So. I was going to get the next Oprah book, but I think I'm going to go for this instead.
Yeah, do that.
Well, isn't Scott, after all, the Oprah of the internet?
Yeah.
This is true.
It's nice to read a book where all the regular conventions don't have to be there. Like, I don't like books or movies where it's always the same thing. There's always one huge car chase. There's always one big nasty sex scene. There's always one scene with a gopher and a chicken.
You know, the sex doesn't have to be nasty. It can be good.
That's
sex.
What I was thinking. What kind of book
doesn't have to be
read,
just one scene?
I mean, what the crap are you doing in bed, Scott?
Anything by David Eddings.
Anyway. You know, the ones I like are the nasty sex scenes that take place during the car chase.
Yeah, those are the best. Yeah. Those are the
chase?
Best. They usually have a lower budget, though, I'm thinking. anyway, so it's one of those stories where, I don't know, I just found it really poignant and just powerful and awesome, and I loved it. Satisfying on every level. And very depressing at the same time. It's hard. It's very bleak, but there's maybe that's what makes the hope of the book come out. I don't know. It's just amazing. Anyway, enough about that. One last mention in movies. Kevin Smith said something interesting to somebody who interviewed him. Here's what the interview said. So thumbs up on Watchmen. What else you got? Smith says. And everyone knows Kevin Smith, right? I mean, I'm not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. I saw a movie last night that I cannot talk about, he said. The host said, was it good? Smith said, it was phenomenal. The host said, any stars or breakout stars? And do they trek? Smith said... The stars absolutely trek in this film. It is fantastic. Anyone who was worried doesn't need to be worried about this film, but I cannot talk about it. It was in very capable hands. The director did a phenomenal job, the director and his crew. A top-notch cast, and the guy that plays the lead is an instant star. That dude is going to be so famous. He is wonderful. He picked up a role that I said was going to be, or that I would say would be pretty challenging for someone to step into the shoes of, because that is a role that has been played before by many times by the same guy. Host says, how do you out Shatner Shatner? Smith says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like he didn't already break the non-disclosure agreement.
He sure seems like it. I mean, I don't know how picky people get about their NDAs when you say things like, the stars absolutely trek in this film.
He should have followed it up with, oh, I'm sorry, I must have
misspoke. Yeah, I misspoke. I misspoke. That's awesome. And this movie's the real McCoy. You got to trust me on it.
You know what? You know what? Just for fun, just for the heck of it, this I'll make this the first time I ever watch anything with Star Trek on it.
Really?
Well, what? Yeah. I mean, I have never seen a Star Trek movie. I have never seen a Star Trek episode, and everybody knows that. I mean, we've discussed that.
Oh,
here
I thought
on the
you
show.
Meant. I thought you meant this is the only one you would ever allow yourself to see. I thought that's what you
no,
meant.
No, no, no. I mean, let's make this the first time I watch a Star Trek thing.
Okay.
Hey, Scott. Yeah. Scott, can I talk to you in private here for a second?
Yes, please. Look at the pretty birds. Okay, go ahead.
What the heck is O doing on the show if he's never seen a Star Trek?
Dude, we ask the question constantly. We don't know what the hell. All right, O, you can come back in.
Okay, let him back in now.
Yeah,
okay.
You're back.
Oh, man.
We talked about your cool comic. So yeah, I don't understand. I still don't understand why he's never given it a shot. You could torrent the crap out of these episodes. You could watch him on Hulu.
I know. I can watch them anytime I want. I just don't want to. I don't think it's attractive. It's not appealing.
Yeah. I think you like it.
Old. It's old. Sad. It's old crap.
Well, it wasn't old when it was being made. I mean, he was alive then, at least for Next Generation and
Next Generation, 1998.
What?
Look, I was born in 1979, okay?
Yeah.
Now, anyway...
there was only one Star Trek before that. There's been a lot of Trek since then. Lots.
Look, whatever. I mean, there's a bunch of geeks that don't like Star Wars, any of it. There's a bunch of geeks that don't like a lot of stuff that supposedly every geek likes. I don't like Star Trek. I've given him a shot.
I was going to say, at least they've seen it.
Yeah, they've seen it, so
No, I've tried it. I really have. I mean... I've started watching an episode, but like 5 minutes into it, I'm like, no, man, I don't want to do this. And the movies, I have tried it too. And no, they just don't work for me. But if this new movie is as good as they say it is, and it's got good production value, it's not going to be like a TV movie like all the others.
What?
Then we're not going to discuss this.
Wrath of Khan.
Look, count your blessings. I'm willing to watch it.
All right, one. I counted them.
O is experiencing what we call geek pressure.
Exactly. What? You can't call yourself a geek if you haven't tried it.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You need to try it, O. All right, as long as you say you'll try that movie, I am satisfied.
Yeah,
not really, but I'll say I am.
Try it.
Now, Brian, Ibbot, you're a fan.
I wouldn't call myself a fan. I mean, I'm more of a Star Wars guy. You know, if we got the Marvel versus the DC guys, then we've also got the Star Wars versus Star Trek.
Are you a Star Wars guy? Are you a Phantom?
But I'm with you.
Yeah, but are you a Phantom? Are you a Phantom Menace, Clone Attack of the Clones
kind of
guy?
No, original. Original.
I am. I'm loyal.
Yeah. No, you're an idiot.
Special.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, then, but this is something that appeals to you. You're excited about it.
Absolutely. Okay. And as far as Star Trek goes, I never got into the original series. And so, you know, we kind of have something together on that one. I really like Next Generation, bought all those on DVD as soon as they came out just because I thought it was a great series.
It really was.
Haven't really gotten into any of the other series since then, except for surprisingly Enterprise. I know I'm in the minority here, but
I liked Enterprise.
You know, I really
liked it. I liked it till fourth season. They gave up then, but everything up till then was great. I thought fourth season, final season, was a bunch of people who knew they had pink slips and were just phoning it in. I thought it was terrible.
Phoning it in.
Yeah.
I'm only about halfway through the second season, so no spoilers.
Oh, sorry, but, no spoilers. Dude, 4 is awesome. It's the greatest ending of any series ever. But
wait,
no,
you
3.
Mean the series got canceled?
3. 3 is really good. I love season 3. But yeah, I will agree that Next Generation was something special. It was really great.
I mean that was lightning in a bottle. It was like it's like Battlestar Galactica, the new Battlestar Galactica. It's you know, something that'll be very hard to follow up, very hard to create a follow up series that's going to be as good.
Yeah,
but I am looking forward to the movie. I really liked Wrath of Khan. There were a couple of the Enterprise movies that I really liked, although and actually again I'm going to agree with a lot of the later Next Generation movies have felt like longer, you know, 2 hour length TV episodes.
Do you think that's because no, I don't think that's it. I think it's because the show had really great production value for the time, and I just think that it wasn't that much of a jump. The jump for jump for the old 60s show was obvious and very amazing because production value in that show sucked. But Next Generation did okay. I mean, especially in the later seasons, the jump to movies wasn't such a far jump anymore.
Well, and for me, it's more how issues are created and resolved in the movies and the TV shows. The Insurrection, for example, there's very little that happens, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong on this, but there's very little that happens to the cast as development, as character development.
That's true.
It's a 2-hour television episode.
That's actually the worst of it. That's the worst of them, in my opinion. I actually think that's the worst one.
What about the one after that with the Picard clone?
That one, I must be in the minority here because I love that one. That was one of my favorite Trek movies ever, actually. I would put it, I would go Wrath of Khan, that one. Then I would go Undiscovered Country. Then I would go the one with the whales and then everything else.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
might have to give that one another shot because it felt,
Love Nemesis.
It felt like a 2-hour basic episode.
Love Nemesis had Ron Perlman in it. I mean, what else can you ask for? It was great.
I got a question for Brian. Brings up something very interesting to me. I hear that complaint a lot about TV series to movies. People say, "Oh, it's just like the TV series, but it's longer." I've always thought, you know, that's what I like. If I like the TV series, I don't mind watching an extended show that could do it. That's the reason why I like the X-Files so much. The X-Files movie that it's had, loved it. Like I said, it was just like the show.
But I feel like if they've got the opportunity to do something on a grand scale, they should take advantage of it. You know, I'm not saying
kill off
a bunch of characters. Well, like Star Trek One, look at Serenity and Firefly.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not going to do any spoilers here, but I mean, there was major character development. I think it was, or major things that happened to the characters, I should say. And I don't think that every movie adaptation of a TV show should go as far as they did. I think it was fantastic, but I don't think, you know.
You think Wash? You're saying Wash should still be among us, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I agree with that.
But like with Star Trek movies, I'm not saying, you know, let's kill off Geordi in this movie or let's kill off Worf in this movie. But I feel like there should be the characters should come out of the movie changed from the way that they were at the beginning of the movie. And you don't get that in the TV show because everything has to wrap up nice for the most part.
I would argue that the earlier cast in some of those movies did more of that. Like you got more character development and different stuff happened that changed the lives of these characters in the Kirk Spock days movies than you do. I would totally agree that they were very careful with Next Generation to say everybody's got to be the same as they were in the show, and we're just going to have them fight big stuff. But in the end, they're all just sort of the same. And he never had moments like in the series where Picard was naked and yelling, there's only four lights and all that. He never had any of those major moments that really define the character. The films are just like, all right, we've done all that. Now we're just going to fight guys with rubber faces, and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah. Well, I think the new Star Trek should be written by fans, and they should all be furries.
They should all be pervs? Is that what you said?
Furries. They should all be furries.
Oh, dude, furries. No. No. No furries.
Yeah. I mean, imagine you know, Spock as a fox.
Yeah. As an actual
Pretty
fox.
Cool,
like a fox.
Yeah. Right.
That's terrible.
With lovely locks. And thanks, Dr. Seuss. Spock as a fox.
Right. No, we got it. It was good. It was good.
I'm sorry.
No,
isn't that a Dr. Seuss book?
I don't know. Is it? It might be.
Spock as a fox?
Could be. Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump to one last thing. We got a call from somebody. We'll preface it with this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Technology.
Indeed. Technology. It reminds me of that stupid Daft Punk song, and it just eats my brain apart when I hear it.
I love that song.
Technologic.
Around the World?
Technologic. No, that other one.
Oh.
Speaking of funky songs.
Something with the bing, bang, bing, bang, bang, bang. It's just, I can't do it.
Speaking of funky songs, my wife is mad at me because she was lucky enough to have escaped and have never heard the Aqua song, Come On Barbie.
Oh, Barbie Girl? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Barbie Girl. And
well,
she had never
with a motive.
And I made her listen to it the other day, and she hates me for making her listen to it now. It's now it's in her head.
Oh, how about that blue song? Like, have her do the blue song. I'm blue, I'm a thing, I'm a guy. How's that go? I don't even know how it goes.
Oh, yeah. Da, ba, ba, dee, ba,
actually,
yeah. No, what you have to do is...
don't say anything.
Yeah.
I thought he was saying, I believe I'm a guy. Is that not it?
I'm trying to listen to Brian Ibbett.
Sorry, Brian, go ahead. Ibbett.
So Brian Dunaway, you ought to go get the London Gay Men's Chorus put out an album in 2006 called From the Ritz to the Anchor and Crown that had a great cover of Barbie Girl on there. You got to play that one for your wife. Yes.
Dude, you're the man. Listen to you with your knowledge
that
and your
is
stuff.
Awesome.
That is awesome. How you even know that is just amazing.
Mr. Ibot, we should get rid of Scott and just, you know.
You should be the new host. You should be the new host. I'll give you the RSS. You're all set. You're good to go.
So you're forgiving me for that whole Star Trek thing, though?
Oh, yeah. He'll forgive
me. Oh, no. Man, I get that all the time.
Yeah. He catches hell for that. All right. We got this call. Let's play this call, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. If this is the Extra Life Hotline, or whatever it's called, my friend was actually quite pettily talking about, I'm not sure if that's a word, he was talking about, he said that he had a computer with 3 terabytes of memory, and he played it down like it was the common thing today. Did I get ported into the future or something? Because I have a 250-gig computer, and I'm damn content with it. Now, what's going on? If there's a 3-terabyte computer out, he asked if my how much my computer costs with 250 gigs. He expected a $150. I said $800, which is what I paid for it. What happened?
All right. Maybe one of my favorite calls ever.
That's awesome.
Because he's so...
I think the first problem...
Yeah.
The first problem is the, hello.
Hello, what's this?
Extra Life Hotline.
Is this the DMV?
Right.
So he called it memory, which I think he didn't mean. I know he means storage, but I don't know anybody with a 3-terabyte drive or drives. He says drive, but I assume it's an array or something.
Yeah, that's pretty uncommon. But 3-terabyte drives, that wouldn't be too horribly bad. I mean, you can get external terabytes for what, $300 or less.
Well, what do you got, Brian? What's your total storage on your main system? What are you doing?
Well, I see. I got about
He's ughing for pause.
No, I only got about 1 terabyte of storage space.
Okay.
Only.
Yeah, I think I've got 1 terabyte of total space if you count the externals for backup and stuff. But my actual internal stuff, I think I've got
my internal. I've only got like, I don't know, maybe 300 gigs tops.
Mine's a 500, I think. So I don't know. Maybe he's. Is that right, iBot? That's all you've got?
Yeah, I've got because I've got a laptop, and so obviously that caps off at about 500 gigabytes. Yeah.
So I think his friend's going to be is being kind of a wiener. Because he's making it out like he's, oh yeah, dude, this is where you been. This is like the last 4 years, man. Welcome to 19.
Well, maybe he has that all totally, and the guy just misunderstood. I mean, like, you know, with several computers and storage devices and whatnot, he has, you know, all that.
Yeah, that would I think his friend is Dwight Schrute, actually.
Mr. Schrute. We demand an audience with Mr. Schrute. By the way, Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight Schrute, replied to an email I sent him.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Nice. I don't know if it was him or some assistant or something, but I'm really trying to get him on the show, to be honest, because there's a lot of talk and rumor that he's really into podcasts and really into that whole scene. And if that's true, and Rainn Wilson, if you somehow stumble upon this show, please come on and be a guest. That'd be great.
Please won't you be... Or neighbor.
But I felt kind of canned. His response was a little canned, so I don't know, dude. Probably not going to happen. We'll see.
Scott Johnson, for your email.
To Rainn Wilson. We will get back to you as soon as possible. Yeah. Good times. All right. I think that's everything. Did we cover it all? My gosh, we're over an hour. We must have. Must have done it.
I just want to say one thing real
please.
Quick.
Please, go ahead. Yes.
Close. I just bought geekpressure.com. And I'm going to pressure Obsidian from that website to watch the original Star Wars.
So it's going to be a site. It's going to be a site dedicated to get me to watch Star Trek.
That's right.
Did you use my GoDaddy codes?
And that's what I was going to say. And I used the GoDaddy code LIFE1, and it only cost me $7 after tax.
Nice. It would have cost you like $9 or something, right?
That's right. See? It was like $10-something. Then I put the coupon in, and it was only like $7-something.
Ah, see, I love the natural commercials that come up on our show.
That's right.
Truthfully, though, if you want to save money on domains, LIFE1, dude. That's it. Piece of cake. That's the code. Use it. Let's talk about how people can find us and do stuff with us. Brian Nibbett, of course, can be found at coverville.com. Brian, you comfortable giving your Twitter out on this show?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Coverville.
Pretty easy. Twitter.com/Coverville.
Ooh, I know where to crack that one.
We are very, very frequent Twitterers, all of us here, and so you guys will find this is a great way to find out what we got going on, what things are happening, and what we're up to. Brian,
yeah, because we got it going on.
That's true. Brian Dunaway can be found, of course. Oh, and did I say Coverville.com? I did.
And actually, let me throw out another little
please.
Plug here. The 500th episode concert, or the concert that's been turned into a podcast, the best bits from Jonathan Colton, Natalie Gilman, Chance in the Choir, Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, is going to be posted either tomorrow or Tuesday. And great covers and a couple originals by Jonathan Colton. He does a cover that he hasn't released before in the concert. I won't say what it is, but... a lot of people are really going to like that. And if you're a fan of the show or if you're just discovering Coverville right now, I'm doing a thing where if you make a donation to the show or a donation to help cover the cost from the concert of $30 or more, then I send you a DVD of the first 500 episodes of Coverville. So,
oh, nice. You, dude. Fancy.
So it's a great
that
way to get caught up.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Might to do that.
My to-do list.
Brian Dunaway, of course, can be found at missiondeep.com, where sometimes things happen, but pretty rarely, or comicscoasttocoast.com, where things happen all the time. So you can check both those out. And Brian, your Twitter is /missiondeep.
That's right, /missiondeep.
That's where you find Brian. And of course, Obsidian can be found at the very high quality webcomic and blog, commissionedcomic.com. And his Twitter is /oabnormal. For me, of course, myextralife.com. That'll give you the blog, the forums, the archives to the show, the comic, the everything else that you may need to see. That's at myextralife.com. And also, I'm at /extralife on Twitter. So make sure you check out that as well.
Because when it came to Twitter, he could get the extra life. But for the site, no.
No, I couldn't do that. I get it almost everywhere but there. It's pissing me off. And then lastly, a quick shout out to Karen Anderson. For and in behalf of her nephew Clark Holdsworth. He's a big fan of the show, and a happy belated birthday to him. He turned 16 on August 17th, and happy birthday, dude!
Ooh! You know what?
Thanks, Karen. I love it when relatives, like adults, are influential.
You know what?
Sorry, go ahead. You were gonna say it.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure if I want to say it anymore.
I want to hear it.
I just wanted to say hello to Veronica Belmont. She actually mentioned me on. Well, I mean, she didn't really talk about me. She just said my name in her last in her last Techzilla show, and I really sort of like geeked out there. So
what did she say? I didn't see it yet. What'd she say?
She just said, you know, I have a friend from Commissioned. He has the same problem with the stuff he wants to get sent from the United States, and she talked about how I couldn't get my Wii sent. I couldn't buy my Wii here and stuff like that. But,
cool.
It's she mentions you like every show. Why are you making the fuss?
Well, I didn't. I just hadn't heard that you were mentioned.
No, Scott. I don't need
your
pity.
Did you know that every time you see Veronica tug on her ear, she's actually saying hi to me in kind of a secret way?
Yeah, it's weird. She's an android. No, I don't know if you guys knew. She's an android.
I just geeked out there for a moment, so I wanted to say hello.
Nice. Well, you deserve the mention, and she's awesome. She was thankfully one of the people I did get to hang out with for a bit at the. At the show in Vegas, and she's so nice, dude. And she hugs really good. I'm just saying.
Okay, shut up. She
really does. I don't mean that in a pervert way at all. She's really nice. She's just nice, and
the show.
She's like a perfect. She's like the little sister we need. She's like a little sister. Okay.
She's like a little sister.
She is. She feels like that to me. She just feels like a little.
She feels like that.
No, that's not what I meant. Sister. Oh, hell's bells. Brian Ibbett, it was a thrill, an honor, and a pleasure to have you on with us again. Please do not be a stranger.
For me as much, so thank you so much.
Yeah, anytime, dude. You're the man. Thanks, Brian and O. You guys are all right, too.
We're all right. We're just all right.
And now they're muted. All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here. If you want to be a part of the show, you can email us either audio or written comments to extraliferadio@gmail.com. It's almost a guarantee you'll get played if you send me something cool. Like I mentioned, you can go to the website, myextralife.com. Thanks to our sponsors again. That's GoDaddy, and that's youbynow.com. By the way, where the code Extra Life will get you that 10% off. I know I mentioned it at the top of the show, but it's worth mentioning again because it's a damn good deal. So go check those guys out. They're awesome. I can't say enough about them. Want to send a special thanks again to the usual contributors. Thanks, Scott Fletcher, for all your voice work. Thanks again to Sebastian for the mashups. Thanks, as always, to Rob Gahobers. For his excellent music that he does for the show, our theme and whatnot. Also, thanks to Skyhawk for his various remixes and original work. He is awesome as well. Thanks to everybody else who contributes in this way or that. We will see you guys all next week for show number 194. Tub stinks.
From the sands of the universe, with a smile on the sun, hold your sword up in the air and stick it up your bum.
Flamingo does remind me of like a 56-year-old showgirl.
Right, your parents love you. Stay off the smack.
Stay off the smack. The crank.
Stay off the smack.
Everything smells like donkey wiener in here. It's like a dental convention in Britain, dude. That place is a big giant cigarette filter. Take the G off.
I really want to vote for Ron Paul. How can I do it through my video game obsession?